Paul, let me say a prayer for you. Father God, we pray you bless Paul this morning, that his words would be anointed by your Holy Spirit, and all our hearts would be anointed by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray, speak, and I pray that we would know ourselves listening in the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again this morning. This morning I'm going to be speaking on how to become a subject in the coming kingdom of God on earth. But in case any of you weren't here last week, here's a quick catch-up. I spoke about the second coming of Jesus Christ and why that long-awaited event may be much closer than we think. The reasons I gave for this were that from Jesus' own words in Matthew 24, the world seems to be in the midst of the birth pains of this coming kingdom of God on earth. And we also saw how one of the main signs pointing to the nearness of Christ's second coming was the return of the Jews to the land that God had given them as an everlasting possession. We looked at the main purpose for the second coming of Jesus was to set up his 1,000-year reign of justice, righteousness, and peace over the whole earth. He will be king over the kingdom of God on earth, ruling from Mount Zion, literally and physically, the global government from Jerusalem. I also stated that every kingdom must have subjects and that Jesus is looking to populate his kingdom with his subjects. And Psalm 1 tells us on what basis God will allow people to become subjects of Jesus' future kingdom. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. At his coming, Jesus will separate mankind into two categories, the righteous and the wicked. The righteous will enter into the kingdom of God, but the wicked will not. What do we mean by these terms, and what do we have to do to be counted as righteous? In other words, you might ask, how do we become subjects of this coming kingdom of God? The answer is by accepting what God has offered us through what Jesus achieved on the cross at his first coming. I will now explain what I mean by that statement. 10 days after Jesus' first coming came to an end, and he ascended back into heaven, the Apostle Peter recapped to his audience all that God had done through his Son Jesus Christ while he walked the earth. Put yourself in their shoes and see how challenging these words from Acts chapter 2 were to Peter's listeners. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. This Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did among you through him, just as you yourselves know. Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him. God raised him up, ending the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by death. This passage has been wrongly used over the centuries and even today to condemn the Jews as Christ killers. Yes, they had a part to play, as did the Romans. But no one today accuses modern Italians as being Christ killers. Isaiah 53 tells us that I put Christ on the cross and that you put Christ on the cross. In fact, all peoples on the earth by their iniquities put him on the cross. Ultimately, it was the Father's plan and responsibility to allow his Son to go to his death. And Jesus went willingly and obediently as an innocent lamb to the slaughter. But death couldn't hold him, and he rose again to life. And by his victory, he will swallow up death forever. Hallelujah. Back to Peter's preach. What was the reaction of his listeners? When they heard this, they came under deep conviction and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what must we do?" "Repent," Peter said to them, "and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I came under that very same conviction 36 years ago and yielded to God. I'd made such a mess of my life and gone down many sinful roads. Is today your day to turn to him? There is no other way to become a subject in the coming kingdom other than turning to God, confessing your sins to God the Father, and believing in what God the Son has done for you on the cross. The God who always keeps his promises will take away your sins. He will then look on you as someone who trusts in his Son, Jesus. He will wipe your slate clean, and your sins will be remembered no more. Your sins will be forgiven. We can't dictate the terms of this marvelous salvation. It's God's plan, and he defines the terms. We can't negotiate and bargain our way into the kingdom. There's only one way in, as Jesus tells us in John 14. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ did everything necessary to provide eternal salvation for you. Your role is minuscule in comparison. What do you have to do? You just have to say yes to Jesus. You repent towards God, confess your sins, turning your back on them, and believe in Jesus. This doesn't mean believing for one day only, today, the 6th of October, 2024. The original Greek for believe in Jesus means to go on believing or continuing to believe. It's a journey of discipleship. And if you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ today, don't turn back. Time is too short. The return of Jesus is close. And even if it wasn't, you could die in your sleep tonight and miss your opportunity. This next verse shows us how to understand the two comings of Jesus and how they are related. From Hebrews 9, "It is appointed for people to die once, and after this, judgment. So also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Will you be waiting for him? Summarizing, Jesus came the first time out of pure love for us to take our sins upon himself. And by his excruciating and undeserved death, Christ took away our sins and gave us in exchange his righteousness. He paid the price for us, even though he was entirely innocent. He took the punishment we all deserve. And we, by our confession of sin and repentance to the Father, and by our trust in who Jesus is and what he did for us, we are then considered clean. We are counted as righteous and worthy to enter the kingdom of God. If you came into this church this morning not knowing Jesus Christ, then today is your opportunity to find peace with him. You will be then counted as righteous. What a plan, what love, what a savior. Jesus will come the second time to complete the salvation of those who are waiting for him. They will enter into the kingdom of God as subjects of King Jesus and help him rule the earth. On that day, will Jesus find you eagerly waiting for him? Or will you reject Jesus and therefore experience the fearful dread of meeting him on Judgment Day? There is a judgment coming for every single human being that has ever lived. We can't duck and dive and dodge it. It is coming. Be prepared for it. Your eternal fate will be decided by whatever choice you make. That choice cannot be changed after either your death or after Jesus returns. Listen to this wonderful truth, which applies to all who are waiting eagerly for Jesus to come back, from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Now, that is a passage of scripture worth writing down and even memorizing. Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. It will sustain you through many dark days ahead as we wait for the blessed hope of his glorious appearing. What a day that will be. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, we read, "The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him." Wrath is an old-fashioned word. It means furious anger. If God's wrath remains on you, you will not enter into his kingdom. And I say this to possibly some folk here today. This God, whom you have kept at arm's length in your life so far, knew you before he knit you together in your mother's womb. He has been patient with you and has proved his love for you by sending his willing and obedient son, Jesus, to his death. Why would he do this? So you could have a second chance, an opportunity for life in abundance now, and even more so in the age to come. King David had a close personal relationship with God. 3,000 years ago, he wrote this next verse from Psalm 56. His words show that in the midst of his many and extensive troubles, he recognized the depth of God's love for him. "You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" If you're hurting today, you need to know this, that God knows all about your wanderings, your hurts, your pains, your sufferings. Over many years, you've shed many tears. Others may have let you down badly, but Jesus will never let you down. He knows why you cry. If you come to Jesus today, he will also put your tears in his bottle. They are precious to him. God loves you and desires that you choose to become a subject in his kingdom, the kingdom run by his son. God isn't some vengeful, angry, dictatorial deity dwelling in the clouds. He is someone who wants to have a personal relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. We heard this in the reading from John's Gospel earlier. "To all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name." If you haven't already done so, then I urge you to believe in the name of Jesus today, and you'll be known as a child of God with all the benefits that being a family member brings with it. If you say yes to Jesus today, you will be reconciled to God, and you will find a deep peace within your spirit. You heard the verse earlier. He is cleansing a people for his own possession. When I first believed in Jesus, he began to clean me up. In fact, he is still working on me and changing me today. It will take him my whole lifetime. The Bible has many phrases for what happens when you begin this journey of trusting in Jesus. You have been born again from above. You are a new creation. You are made alive in Christ. Your eternity can start here and now. None of us can find God or be accepted by God on the basis of our own merits or efforts. It is the gift of God. All we have to do is say yes to this gift that God is offering us. And then God will regard you as his adopted child. You will find joy in Jesus, and he will begin to change you. If you do this, then this next verse from Colossians 1 describes what happens spiritually. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him. And I say to anyone who's considering coming off the fence today and choosing Jesus, you will be giving up the kingdom of darkness with all its horrors and enter the kingdom of light with all its joys. You can now become a subject in the coming kingdom of God and be ruled by King Jesus when he comes. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to have peace with God is by accepting Jesus. There's no other way, no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean life will suddenly become a bed of roses. In fact, we are told by Jesus himself to deny ourselves and take up our own cross. But all the resources of heaven will be there to help you as you carry your cross. If you accept Jesus today, in effect, you'll be saying, as I once did, Lord Jesus, I've made a mess of everything. Please come in and run my life. Matthew 11 provides a flavor of what life is like as a Christian. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I made the right decision all those years ago and wrote about my experience in a poem about a year later, describing my journey of coming to faith and how my life had changed. It is called The Seeker, and I pray this may help someone here today pondering whether to ask Jesus into their life. Where can I find you, God, if you are really there? I have so many questions. Have you the time to spare? So many worldly comforts. I've tried and tried in vain. I need you so badly, Lord, to help me with my pain. How can I reach you, Lord, up there in heaven's sky? I know I can't pass the test, no matter how hard I try. But something's moving in my heart. You know, I think it's true, that I'm so small and you're so big. Lord, it's up to you. Yes, now I can feel you, Lord, come to satisfy my thirst. At last I've come to love you, but I know you love me first. All my many questions, you're answering one by one. From all life's hurts and troubles, it's to you I gladly run. You're in my heart, O wonderful Jesus, and I'm safe in your arms. When I think of all you've done for me, shown by your pierced palms, I give myself over to you, for you know what is best. Each and every day of my life, in your love, I want to rest. I know you're coming back one day to take us home with you. We'll gather at the river and worship you anew. We'll be with you forevermore in eternity sublime. Where are you, God, I once asked. You were there all the time. Today is the day to make your peace with your Creator. Today is your opportunity to let God turn your life around. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. And if God has spoken into your heart and mind today, then come up to the front after the service for prayer. This also applies to anyone here who is a believer in Jesus or has lost his or her way, either through continuing sin, lack of trust in God, or maybe holding on to unforgiveness. Whatever the reason, God says to you, come back to me today, confess your sins, and I am well able to make your sins of scarlet whiter than snow. Thank you.